listening to a recording from Watnall Road Baptist Church. And welcome to our special report on Christmas. What is it? What does it mean? And what is the point of it at all? Is it all about getting presents and eating too much food? For the first of tonight's special broadcasts, we head to our reporter, James Hodge, who's in Nottinghamshire, to find out more.
Yes, thanks, Gemma, and good evening. I'm here in Nottingham to find out what Christmas is all about. This church group is getting ready to put on a play. Let's watch it and see if it tells us the real meaning of Christmas.
I'm Mary.
I'm Joseph. I'm a carpenter. I want you to marry me.
That's nice.
I am the angel Gabriel. You are going to have a baby.
That's nice.
Oh no, we've got to go to Bethlehem.
They're on the end, but you can stay in the same place. That's nice.
Some shepherds, and this is some sheep.
I am the angel Gabriel. Go and see the baby.
Oh, hello. We've come to see the baby.
That's nice. I am some kings or wise men. Here's some gold, frankincense, and myrrh for the baby.
Thank you.
must be something more. We get so caught up in it all. Busyness and relationships, 100-mile-an-hour lives. And it's this time of year, and everybody's here. It seems the last thing on your mind. But Christmas must be something more. Those are Taylor Swift lyrics. But we're now going to pray, because yes, Christmas must be something more. So Lord God, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas and the birth of your Son, help us to get beyond the busyness, the presents, the food, the stress, and see that Christmas must be something more. Let us think about Mary, who, when the angel came to her, answered, "I am the Lord's servant, and my soul glorifies the Lord." Help us to fully trust you, Lord God, even in the most challenging of circumstances. We pray now for situations where we need to put our trust more fully in you, knowing that you are in control of our lives. Let us think about Joseph, who obeyed you even when he could have faced a lot of opposition and criticism from those around him. We pray now for situations we are in, where we know what the right thing is to do, but are worried about the consequences for ourselves of standing up for what is right. Help us obey and do what is right. Let us think about the shepherds, ordinary people who were visited by angels and got to see the newborn Son of God. We thank you, Lord God, that you speak to ordinary people like us, and we ask that you would speak to us and that we would be ready and open to hear your voice. We pray for those that we know who need to know your closeness to them now. We name them in our hearts before you. Let us think about the Magi, wise men who went on a long journey following the leading of a star. Lord, life sometimes feels like a very long, difficult journey, and we can often feel that we have no idea of where we're going. Help us to keep on following you, following your lead, and trusting that your plans for us are good. And finally, let us think about what it really means that the baby born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago was God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us. This is the reason we celebrate. This is why Christmas is something more. We pray that we will keep Christ at the centre of this Christmas, having time to ponder these things in our hearts as Mary did. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 18, taken from the Message translation. An event for everyone. There were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A savior has just been born in David's town, a savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheep herders talked it over. "Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child, and all who heard the sheep herders were impressed.
Welcome back. In other news, the Roman governor of Syria has announced there will be a census. Strange lights have been seen in the sky. Is it aliens? And the people of the small town of Bethlehem report huge visitor numbers. Now we return to our main story, where we are taking an in-depth look at what Christmas really is all about. For the second of our special reports, we go over to our reporter, Max Christian, at the Bethlehem Retirement Home.
Here I am at Bethlehem's home for retired shepherds to find out more about what Christmas is all about. It's warm and cosy, so let's go inside and see who's awake that we can talk to.
Yeah.
Nurse, I'm bored.
Already? You can't be bored already. There's loads to do. Try some knitting.
Do I live here?
Yes, dear. You're tired, don't you remember?
I am tired.
Well, it's the same old thing every night. Nothing ever happens. Nothing ever exciting, anyway.
Well, at least we're not out in the fields like the old days. Same old sheep. Same old hills. Just eating and sleeping. I mean, even the sheep were bored.
It wasn't always that way. In fact, I remember being told as a child.
Careful. Are you sure you can remember that far back?
Watch the shoulder.
There was an exciting thing that happened on that hill that will always be remembered. Do you remember?
An angel?
Excuse me. RBC News, did you say an angel? What was it doing in Bethlehem? Did it lose its way?
No, apparently he just appeared from nowhere with some exciting news about a king that had just been born in Bethlehem.
Let me think. I believe it went something like this. The shepherds were watching their flocks. That's what we did, watching their flocks by night.
It was cold.
It was always cold.
It was dark.
It was always dark. But there was something different that night.
There were a light.
Oh my gosh, what was that?
An angel.
The angel said, "Don't be afraid, for I bring good news. A saviour has been born, and he is Christ the Lord."
Wow.
So I said, "Well, thanks.
You will know this to be true when you find him wrapped up warm and lying in a manger."
And did none of this seem strange or unusual to you?
Well, we did wonder what we should do.
Shepherds really weren't allowed in the town, you know, so we headed to the caravanserai, which is like a trading post, a pub, where the outcasts gathered, so we were full at home.
And, you know, that's where we found him.
just like the angel had said.
Keeping warm with the animals, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And, you know, we were the first people to see him.
And now the three of us, of all people.
Then we went back to the sheep. But I felt different.
Different? How?
I wanted to sing and dance. I still do.
I can feel my legs going.
Time for medication.
I like it. It's gone.
Well, there you have it. Simple shepherds, people like you and me, were some of the first people to see Jesus, and he changed their lives forever. In fact, some say on this very night, when it's really quiet, you can still hear the singing from the shepherds that night.
Great.
Thank you. that's like. Many nights I would sit still and be awake. When the sun rose, I'd rise from my bed, help my mother with the morning meal, and wander into my father's shop. Oh, he'd put me to work, usually. Whatever project he was working on, a table, a chair, a door frame, he would give me a task. Never a huge part. You know, something like sanding, hammering, or, you know, just chipping away at a few little bits and bobs. But it always gave me such joy to look at the finished project and know that I had a hand in it. Of course, most of the work of my father was my father's, but still, you know, I had a little part in it. My father always made the same joke, remarking that, you know, you be careful, don't let Joseph know how skilled you are, or he may even put you to work in the shop. But night would come again, and the fear would return. In desperation, I spent many days in the temple court, pouring out my heart to Yahweh. I did everything I could think of to be assured that I was remaining in his light. I fed the poor outside the temple gates and tended to the sick. But there were still those nights. They came less frequently, but they came nevertheless. And then, one of those nights was interrupted. Unable to sleep, I was really uneasy, really unsettled. It felt like the shadows were closing in. Despite my father's reassurances, despite my trust in Yahweh, I knelt beside my bed and I cried out to God for peace. Peace and his presence. Yah, he hears our prayers. Oh, of this I am absolutely certain. When I arose, I felt the shadows that were inside of me begin to recede, and then suddenly the darkness around me fled as this light, like a thousand lanterns, filled every corner. As my eyes adjusted, I saw a figure radiating light standing just a few feet away. The angel told me that God had chosen me for a miracle, that I would bring a baby into this world, a baby who would be the Messiah. Oh, there are many things that I could sit here and tell you about over the next few months, about breaking the news to Joseph, to my parents, to my friends. I could tell you about the journey that I took to go and see my cousin Elizabeth, and about acquaintances who shamed me with disapproving looks and judgmental whispers. I could tell you all of that. And more. And perhaps someday I will. But I've started it all in my heart. But not tonight. Because tonight, I get to hold this baby boy, all rosy-cheeked. And just like the projects I used to help my father with, I know I played my part. But as much as I love him already, This this is not our child. This is heaven's child. I'm not sure about everything that means, but one thing I am sure of, I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. How could I be when I'm holding the light of the world in my arms?
Good evening.
It's evening by now, isn't it? It was afternoon when I spoke to you earlier. Just in case you don't know who I am, my name's Simon, and I'm the lead minister here. Now, one of the things that gets really useful when you're stuck is Alexa. Who's got an Alexa? Yeah, lots of people have. Well, I've got one today, and I think I need a bit of help, so I'm just switching it on now. I'm going to ask Alexa a few questions. Alexa! How many people have I invited over for Christmas dinner?
20.
Oh. How many days until Christmas?
2.
When did I tell my wife they were coming?
You haven't.
These Alexas know all sorts of things. Alexa, What should I do about that?
Panic.
Oh. Well, she's a lot of help, isn't she? Oh, Alexa, what's it all for anyway?
Christmas.
But Alexa, what is Christmas?
Christmas is an annual celebration of the birth of Christ.
So, Alexa, it's not all about presents, food and stress then?
According to Christians, it's a celebration of Christ's birth.
Now, my Alexa's very clever, isn't it? See, it's even got a cross on it as well, so it's like a Christian Alexa. I think that's volume up and volume down, though. Well, you've probably seen a bit of a theme running through. What's it all about? What's the point of Christmas? And we've seen some brilliant dramas, heard some lovely songs, sang some lovely songs. And for a few minutes, we're going to think about this. What's it all about? I'm going to go right back to basics and think about some people who were in the readings and actually who we saw in a retired state. Just the ideal three people playing them, wasn't it, as well? We're going to think about the shepherds on that first Christmas. What's the point? What was it all about for them? Why Christmas? Well, for them, firstly, it was time to panic. Now, that's what my Alexa told me to do. And maybe some of you are panicking at the thought of Christmas. Presents to get. Wives, do you find it's always difficult to find a present for your wife? And you say, what do you want for Christmas? And they say, nothing really. So I say to Hazel, do you want a record? Can I suggest some? But it's difficult. All I can say is I'm thankful for Amazon, especially Amazon Prime, when I don't know till the last minute. But actually, the shepherds had a panic that first Christmas. Now, as you heard in that sketch earlier, they didn't have a very easy life. Retirement looked all right, but actually the work life was really tough. Shepherds were considered the lowest of the low. They weren't allowed into town. They were the kind of people that you'd keep at a distance. In fact, you know, my mum used to say to me when I wouldn't work at school, if you don't do your work at school, you'll end up a road sweeper. Sorry if there's any road sweepers here. And in those days, mums would have said to their sons, if you don't work hard at school, you'll end up a shepherd. They didn't used to put the sheep in a pen. They had to spend the night in the open with them. And it was their job to keep the sheep together and to protect them. So here they were, huddled together at night, longing for a cup of hot chocolate to keep them going, when something really scary happened. The Bible says that suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. It was certainly time to panic. What were they so terrified of? Well, if you've ever been in the wilds at night, you'll know how scary it is when someone sneaks up on you. I used to be a Boy Scout once, believe it or not. You know, we used to learn to light fire with little sticks. They were called matches, you know. I used to hate being out at camp because I was always a bit nervous and the other boys would make me jump or do something to frighten me. You know what it's like when you're there and it's quiet and suddenly you hear a big noise or you see a bright light? And here they were minding their own business one minute and then an angel of the Lord appeared to them the next. That was really scary. But you know, the most terrifying thing about it was this. Luke's gospel tells us that they saw the glory of the Lord. What that means is they were given a glimpse of what God was like. God was majestic and holy. And here they were, ordinary shepherds, ordinary people. And that made them feel uncomfortable. You see that right through the Bible. When people come face to face with God, it's scary because we realize there's something between us and God, something the Bible calls sin. When we say to God, get out of my life, I'm going my way. When we get close to God, we realize how far we are from Him. When you're confronted with what God is like, you have to face up to what you are like and how far you are from Him. I did a guitar workshop a few years ago. My son came with me, and it was quite a well-known guitarist, really good guitarist leading it, and we had little groups, and we listened to him talk to us. And then at the end of the day, there was what they called a masterclass, and I didn't realize that they were going to pick names out of a hat. Everyone who was there got entered into it, And the name that got pulled out had to sit out the front with the famous guitarist and do a little lesson with him in front of everyone. And I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting, until I heard them pick the name out the hat. Simon Robinson. That's me, by the way. Well, I tell you, it was really terrifying. This guy was a lovely guy, really nice guy, brilliant guitarist, but the brilliance of his playing just showed up what my playing was really like. You know, that's what it's like, actually, when we stand before God and realize just who we are and what we are. That was what it was like for those shepherds. That's why they were terrified. So it was time for panic, and then secondly, it was time for peace. Now, you see a lot in Christmas cards about Christmas being a time of peace and goodwill. Doesn't look like it when you look around at the world. I had an argument with a bank manager once by post, before the days of email. He charged me something, and I didn't think I should be charged for it, and I wrote him a stinking letter, in a nice Christian way, of course. And he wrote back, and he said, "Since it is the season of goodwill, I will let you off." What he was really saying was that he was wrong, but never mind. But these shepherds were scared out of their mind because the angel had come and was surrounded by the glory of God, giving them a glimpse of God. And the first thing they heard was these welcome words, "Don't be afraid," or "Be at peace." Why not? Well, the angel went on to say, "I am here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everyone worldwide. A Savior has been born in David's town." David's town was another name for Bethlehem because the great King David had been there. And the prophets long ago had said that the new king would be born there. And that word Savior means someone who rescues you. You know, someone who rescues you from something you can't rescue yourself from. This was Jesus. This was the great news. This was why they could be at peace, because God had come to fix that gulf between him and people so that we could be right with him. In fact, when the angel came to Joseph in a dream, he said that he shall call the boy Jesus, which means God saves, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, that's interesting, because at that time, they were all expecting a king to save them from the Romans who were ruling them. But the angel said, no, there's something bigger you need to be saved from, your sins. That you are not right with God. That you've said to God, "I'm going to do it my way. Get out of my life. I'm not going to obey your commands." That you are far from God. God's come to do something about that by sending his son. Now, I had a bit of a fall a few weeks ago. It always sounds something that you say when you're getting on a bit. I suppose I am getting on in years, but I was minding my own business. I was coming out of a meeting in Chesterfield, coming out of a building which just happened to be next door to a pub. And as I was near the pub, Chesterfield Market Square, I was phoning up Hazel to tell her where I was going and that I'd be back soon. Not looking where I was going, I went absolutely flying, which is doubly embarrassing when you're in front of a pub and you haven't had a drop to drink. Honest, I hadn't drank a drop. And so this bloke said, it was Derbyshire, he said, "Hey, is that all right, mate?" And I said, no, not really. He said, "Oh, never mind." And he walked off. So I had to get myself up and I kind of limped back to the car and my arm was aching. And then I was being brave. For the next few weeks, I was being really brave. You know, I had just a sprain, my arm was aching. People kept nagging me, only a sprain. And in the end, I gave in. I went to hospital to see about this sprain, because they wanted to check that's all it was. And they said to me, "Do you realize you broke your elbow and you broke it really badly?" No, I didn't. You know, I felt like I'd been quite brave. You know, they told me I was a bit silly, though. But there I was thinking it was just a bruise when it was a break, when it was something much deeper. And that's what this is saying here, is that actually people think that their problems are all things that are out there on the periphery. You know, our problem, the people said, is the Romans. We get rid of them. And we say, you know, our problem is what's going on in our country. If we can sort that out and get the economy sorted. But the angel said, actually, people's problem is sin, and Jesus has come to deal with that by growing to be the perfect man and dying on the cross and giving us new life through him. So when the angel said, "Don't be afraid," he wasn't just saying, "Don't be scared of me." He was saying, you can be at peace with God. You don't need to be afraid of God. You've got something to look forward to when you stand before him. And the New Testament tells us we have peace with God through Jesus. So, for the shepherds, it was time to panic. It was time for peace. And then it was time to party. Who likes a good party at Christmas? Yeah? Good. Well, some of you do, yeah? Well, we are Baptist, I suppose, you know. Sometimes people don't think that Christians like to enjoy themselves. And I haven't helped because once I was speaking in the open air, and I was being really emphatic, and I said, I want to tell you this. Since I've become a Christian, I have never, ever enjoyed myself. You try getting out of that one, it's really difficult. But actually, you know, we do like to enjoy ourselves, and we do like a party. And for the shepherds, it was time to party. In fact, it was the party, because they were joined by a whole load of angels. We read in Luke's gospel, at once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir, even better than these guys here, singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him. Wow, that was some party song. That word pleased means goodwill. You know, often we sing, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And we say, you know, it's the season of goodwill to do good things to one another. But what that is saying is that God is showing goodwill, kindness to people. To who? To everyone. Because he sent his son, Jesus. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves you more than you could ever know. And he's invited you to the party. And it's really easy. All you need to do is accept the invitation to say, I believe in God's Son, that he came to do what he said he was going to do, to die for our sins and rise from the dead, that he is who he says he is, the Son of God. I hope this is going to be a really great Christmas for you. But most of all, I hope that you'll accept the invitation to God's party. Now, as we close, I want to show you a video about an Alpha course that's coming up. And if you want to know more, we've got one starting very soon in February. And we'd love you to come along to that.
Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions, like why am I here? Why am I here? Is that almost life than this?
I have arrived at an answer to the most important issue. And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. I'm supposed to be a scientist.
Thanks.
love you to join us on our Alpha course. It's time for you to come with your questions and talk to us about them, learn from the videos, and learn how to meet God. Well, let's close now with another really great carol. This is one of my favorites, this. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Can I just thank everyone who's been involved, the musicians and the actors and the technical people. You've been brilliant. Thank you very much. Hang around. We've got mince pies and tea and coffee. Love to chat to you and eat with you in a moment. Let's pray. Now may the love of the Creator, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of the Christ child be with us this Christmas and forevermore. Amen.